Well, today I want to introduce to you Matthew 25 Project. This is what I would call our next expansion project as a church, but it's not expanding a building, it's not expanding a ministry or something on our campus here. We are part of expanding the kingdom of God. Now, just to be clear, the kingdom of God is always expanding, it's always advancing. It's just, are we going to participate or not? Or is somebody else going to? And so I believe this is an important step for our church. But let me take you back to 1977. So in 1977, there were two guys, Mel Hurst, Ken Souter. They had a conversation that started with, what if? What if we would start a church where people could come to worship freely? What if we could start a church where people would hear the uncompromised word of God and learn how to build their lives on God's word and learn how to be led by the Spirit instead of being led by legalism? And so Ken said to Mel, he said, well, should we pray about it? And Mel said, yeah, we can pray about it, but let's do it. And in that moment, a seed of a church was planted, and then Pastor Sam Smucker became the pastor, and he faithfully pastored this church for 40 years. But because of the vision that this church had to love God and love people, there was always a focus on the harvest. We took the Great Commission seriously. We still do take the Great Commission seriously to go into the world, preach the gospel, teach people how to obey everything that Jesus taught. And the church grew, and it continued to grow. And there were certain expansion projects through the years. In 1981, that's when my parents made the decision for our family to come to Worship Center. And I don't think they realized just how much that one decision would have changed their lives as well as changing my life. So as a kid, I was about 4 years old or so when we started coming, I watched this church grow. Probably didn't really understand it, but I realized that, you know, so many people poured into this church, the resources, their time, their prayers, their finances, and supported the growth that took place here. Yeah, God provided, but he provided faithfully through people giving of their generosity, generously of their time and money. So through the years, we had all these different expansion projects. In 2010 is when we moved into this building. Prior to that, we were in the building across the parking lot. It was considered a temporary space that we were in for 29 years. But in 2010, we moved into this building to strengthen our home base as a church, and this building cost about $20 million. It's a big mountain for us to climb as a church. And again, God was faithful to provide through the generosity of people. And then, of course, in 2017, we went through a lead pastor transition. Pastor Sam completed 40 years of pastoring this church. Incredible man who led well, shepherded people well, such an example to me. Still supportive of us today. I'm so grateful for that. And then I started my journey 8 years ago of being the lead pastor, trying to figure this out. And you all have been so gracious. So I'm really grateful. But in 2021, the building mortgage for this building was paid off. We were in this building for about 11 years, finally paid off. And then soon after that, we realized that the kids ministry and our kids were growing and really outgrowing our space. And so we needed some more space in our kids ministry area. And let me just tell you, the last thing I wanted to do was another building campaign. But that's what we did. In 2022, we started that process and we built an additional about 8,600 square feet of space. It's a wing to the north side of this building. And we added additional space and it quickly got filled up. And then in October 2024, that project, by the way, cost around $2.3 million. And just for 8,600 square feet, can you believe that? But in October 2024, a little bit less than a year ago, that $2+ million project was fully paid for. And I think it's important for you to know that we are, as a church, we are debt-free. And so now it's time, we believe, to take another step of expansion. But it's not to expand our building, it's not to expand our campus or even a ministry. It is connected to expanding where we think the kingdom of God is. And so Matthew 25 Project, I just want you to see this. It's a God-sized goal to give generously with who we are and what we have to advance kingdom initiatives. So when you hear that term, Matthew 25 Project, that's what this is. You might be wondering, okay, where do we get Matthew 25? Well, at the beginning of this year, in 2025, we did a sermon series called Task Oriented. Anybody, that would make me feel so good if somebody remembered that. Anyone remember that series? Okay, yeah, four or five people did. No, more than that. But Task Oriented was, that's how we kicked off 2025. And we did a deep dive into Matthew chapter 25. Now, at that point, I did not know any of this was going to really unfold over the year. But Matthew 25 has, just as a refresher, in case you haven't been reviewing your notes lately, but Matthew 25 has two parables and a scene of the final judgment. All right, that's how that chapter is. So we did a deep dive into this. So I'm just gonna give you a brief summary. Parable number one is about 10 bridesmaids. Five were wise and five were foolish. They were as they were waiting for the bridegroom, right? It's a parable, it's a story, it's an illustration. What was the lesson in there? Number one, I'd encourage you to write this down. It's about urgency. For followers of Jesus, do we have an urgency? And that urgency comes from when we let the promise of Christ's return shape our priorities today. We know Jesus is going to return, we don't know when. Knowing that, as we look to the future, how does that shape our priorities today? It's about being spiritually alert. Parable number two. It's a parable of the story of three servants and bags of money. One servant was given five bags of money, one servant was given two bags of money, and one servant was given one bag. The first two were wise, the third was foolish. Now, those bags of money represented valuable kingdom opportunities. They didn't really come with any instructions, but the first two were wise, the last one was foolish. The first two used what they were given and they multiplied it. The third servant took what he was given and buried it. And eventually lost it. So what's the lesson there? Number two, faithfulness. It's about using what we've been given to advance God's kingdom, not our own. And when we do that, it multiplies. So to whom much is given, much is required. And so we have these first two parables, and then we get to this final scene of judgment. Last part of the chapter describes all people gathered, all people of all nations gathered in front of the throne for the final judgment. And all people are separated into two groups. This is a very sobering story. And they're separated into two groups, on the right and the left, sheep and the goats. The ones who are sheep, they're righteous. The ones on the that are goats, they're unrighteous. Righteous means that Jesus has transformed their life. They've allowed Jesus to transform them. The ones who are unrighteous, they ignore Jesus, indifferent to him. What's the lesson here? It's that the righteous are compassionate. They have compassion. Number three. Compassion means that that you let Jesus transform how we see and serve the least among us. Remember, Jesus said, when you serve the least among us, you were serving me. When you met a need of someone who was maybe ignored by somebody else, you were actually serving me. Very powerful. Jesus transforms us in how we are moved with compassion. And so the bottom line is Matthew chapter 25 is about living as followers of Jesus with a sense of urgency, faithfulness with what we have, and compassion. Knowing that our time on earth is limited. We don't know when Jesus will return. We know that he will. And so what do we do with what the time that has been given to us? Now, here's what you don't know. Near the end of that series in February, I started to sense this stirring inside that there was a next step for us as a church. Right? God has entrusted a lot to us. I was looking at the scripture. I was like, okay, how are we multiplying what God has given us? How are we being good stewards of that? And so in February, near the end of that series, I just went to our leadership team and our board of directors, and I said, here's what I'm sensing. I'm just gonna hold this with an open hand. I don't know all the details. I just know there's a next for us and have a little bit of direction. But here's the question. So our board and our leadership team, we went through a time of prayer and discernment around this. And we started asking these questions. God, what are you doing? Where's your kingdom moving? How can we join in with what you're doing rather than just trying to do our own thing? And we feel like God has given us very clear direction to the best of our understanding of discerning his will. We believe that God has given us clear direction and it comes with a God-sized goal. And we're ready to present it and walk through it as a church. So I just want to walk through this today. Matthew 25 project, the vision, here's the vision of it. It's to make disciples who advance kingdom initiatives through sacrificial and strategic generosity. Who are we as a church? Well, I believe we are a five-bag church. We've been entrusted a lot, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so we are generous because we love God and we love people. And so being faithful to what God has given us means there's this level of sacrifice and strategy around how we are going to be generous towards God's kingdom. Here's the God-sized goal that we believe God has given us: to give away $2 million in 2 years to kingdom initiatives. This is above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings that support the ministry and the missions that goes on here. We're building on that. We're stacking it on top of it. But we want to give it away, $2 million given away. It's not going to benefit Worship Center. It's not a new ministry we're starting. We are giving it away to meet very specific needs, benefit the kingdom of God. And we sense very clear alignment in this with God's word and his will and agreement among our team. And so here's our focus. Two things rose to the top. First one is we believe that God's calling us to elevate God's word. Give God's word to people who don't have it because we love God. And God's word has been a part of our DNA, part of this church from the beginning. The second focus is we want to value the sanctity of human life. And we do that because life is a gift. Life is a God-given gift, and we want to value every single human life from the womb, out of the womb, until they take their last breath here on the earth. And we do that. We're going to do that by meeting a basic need, because often when you meet basic needs for people who are in need, it opens the door for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that because we love people. We're compelled to do this because we love God and we love people. Now, let's get even more specific. How will we elevate God's word? Here's the step we're taking. We're starting a partnership with a Bible translation organization called Illuminations. Illuminations is an alliance of Bible translation agencies and resource partners working together with generous givers to eradicate Bible poverty. Their byline is God's word accessible to all. Now, what they have told us is, what we're learning is to the best of their understanding, there are still, to this day, about 3,000 known languages that do not have a Bible translated in their language. Now, I just want you to think about that for a moment. Imagine you didn't have a Bible in your heart language to understand it and to read it. They have a God-sized goal to translate the Bible in every known language by the year 2033. It's aggressive, but it's a God-sized goal. I think 2033 is going to be a significant year in the world. And so our part in this, we're taking a step, this kind of practical on-ramp step for us. We're going to start by choosing a region of the world, and they'll give us a couple options. We'll choose a language of a people group who do not have a Bible in their language. We get to choose that. And then we're going to start one book at a time. Start with one book of the Bible being translated, and then move toward maybe the whole New Testament, and then move toward the whole Bible. Now, a whole Bible to translate in a new language takes 3 to 5 years and costs to to translate and distribute costs about $960,000. And so we're gonna take a step toward that. But when we take that step, we get a Bible into that group. We actually get to see those people receive this Bible in their own language. I just want you to imagine that moment. A person opening the Bible for the very first time in their own language. Matthew 25 Project is gonna make that possible. I wanna invite you into that. Now, how will we value the sanctity of human life? What steps are we taking for that? I wanna invite Tony Lombardi to come up here. Tony is serving on our board. He's also a key leader on working to get Matthew 25 Project, working with him over the past, since February, very closely. It's been amazing to work with him, and he's gonna share some of the steps we're taking and how we're gonna value the sanctity of human life. So would you welcome Tony? Thanks for sharing today.
Thank you, Mac. So as we started this, we didn't know where this was going to lead. So through a lot of prayer, a lot of spiritual discernment, a lot of difficult conversations at times, we looked at 19 different ministries, considered them as part of our partner program. And of those 19, we've narrowed it down to three in the Sanctity of Human Life area. And those are Align Life Ministries, Keystone Family Alliance, and Bridge of Hope Ministries. And I'll give you a little bit about each of those, plus let you know how we would like to get involved with them. And the involvement is not just financial, as Matt said. The involvement is also engaging the Worship Center congregation. So all of you have an opportunity to volunteer your time and your talent with these ministries as well. So let me start with Align Life. The mission of Align is to align with God, to proclaim the gospel and champion the sacredness of life. So we're going to help Align in a couple of different ways to get started. We want to purchase for them an ultrasound machine. They have them now. One of them needs to be upgraded. When a woman who is in a crisis pregnancy situation comes into Align, and they have an opportunity to see that baby through an ultrasound machine, it's over 90% of the time that they will decide to carry that baby to term. And you know what those images look like, and when you see what God has created in the womb, then that's a tremendous way to support the sanctity of life. In addition, for Align, we would like to contribute to a new facility. They're refurbishing a new facility, and so that would allow them to expand their ministry and handle a greater volume, and that those details will be coming out soon. And then we also would like to expand their ministry in a couple of different ways. We're talking to them now about a couple of staff positions that may need to be added to help them expand that ministry. And that's something we'll be working on here going forward. From a volunteer perspective, there are lots of things the congregation can do to support Align. One thing is to be a client advisor. So when that woman experiencing a crisis pregnancy walks through the door, there's someone there who can help them, choose life. Another way is to help fathers. Fathers are sometimes a forgotten group in the crisis pregnancy situation, and so to actually mentor men who are in that situation as well as to counsel or mentor women who have had abortions that have an emotional scar as a result of that and need to be restored and have that emotional scar healed. There's also volunteer opportunities with respect to helping at fundraisers, a number of different ways, volunteering at the baby boutique that they have, as well as even what we might call mundane things like property maintenance, and that'll come up a few times here. So there are lots of ways we can help Align, but we're really excited about the ministry that they have, four locations, Lancaster, Lebanon, Ephrata, and Columbia. Really excited about that ministry and how Worship Center can partner with them in a really, really visible way to bring those formed in the womb to life. The second ministry is Keystone Family Alliance, and let me read their mission statement: to educate, motivate, and equip every Christian in the state of Pennsylvania on the needs of orphans and vulnerable children, both locally and globally. So Keystone Family Alliance has operations throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Not every county, but Lancaster County is represented. And so there is a ministry here in Lancaster County that wraps around families that are either fostering or in an adoptive process. So those families, as you can imagine, injecting children into a family is a burden. And so Keystone works with churches to provide some wraparound services for those families. And those could be babysitting, bringing meals, providing transportation, and again, even practical things around a household, yard work and cleaning and such. But that's what Keystone does. And so they are in touch with children and family services in Lancaster County. They know when a foster child is placed, and they want to be able to come to a church like Worship Center and say, can you orchestrate a group of people who can wrap around this family and be the hands and feet of Jesus in their family as they walk through this process. So there are really two ways to volunteer. Well, first of all, the way we're going to help them financially is to add a position so that there's another county coordinator, someone else who can work with foster families. And there's an incredibly large number of foster children that are waiting to be placed. So we will fund a position to actually help make that happen in a new way. And we're actually going to give them some funding for outreach and for some training within their ministry. So the way people can volunteer is whether it's a home group or whether you happen to live near a family that has a foster child, you can gather around them for like a year-long commitment to be a support group as they navigate that whole process. In addition, Keystone is looking for folks within the congregation to become advocates for Keystone within Worship Center. So they would be liaising essentially with Keystone and assembling the groups of people that can be helping foster families. If you know anyone that's ever gone through the child welfare system, working with that welfare system, and then also managing a foster, it's an amazing burden. 90% of the people who foster give it up within 2 years because of the level of difficulty. But they found that by wrapping a church around these families, that period gets extended quite a bit. The third ministry is Bridge of Hope, and so let me read their mission statement as well. To serve families who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in the Lancaster area. Families that we partner with benefit from a network of Christian faith volunteers, rental assistance, and intensive close management as they work to achieve long-term stability. So Bridge of Hope has a process whereby someone who's near homeless or homeless can apply for housing in an apartment. And Bridge of Hope maintains a number of apartments that people can get settled in. And then they'll provide rental assistance. But more importantly, they ask for churches to gather around those folks, similar to how I described for the foster families, similar in that way, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those folks in that situation. So again, it would be everything from meals to transportation to practical needs within a household to get those people to stability. And what Bridge of Hope has found is that once people engage in the process, once homeless folks engage in this process, 80% of them become independent within 2 years. And so it's a great program, and it's a great way we can contribute to yet another way a family can recognize the sanctity of life, and we can help them even further than what happens today. A couple of ways that we're going to fund them is we will contribute to the development of some housing units There are multiple projects going on right now. One is in Bridgeport, east side of Lancaster, and one is in Paradise Township. So we would like to see those become facilities where families can deal with their homeless situation in a structured way. And then ways to volunteer is to become one of those neighboring families that can walk alongside each of these folks who are in a Bridge of Hope housing, again, so that they can have the support system to bring them to stability. Another way you can help, and this is a kind of a unique one, if you have rental properties and are willing to make those rental properties available, not for free, but discounted for market rates, for a homeless family to stay in for a period of time, then that would be another wonderful way that we can support these families. So supporting life, supporting families in a couple of different ways. This is how with the Matthew 25 project, we would like to initiate and get it moving and to do it, as Matt said earlier. So I've been really blessed to be part of this team with staff members here at Worship Center, Matt and his lead team, a few board members. And this has been, it's been an interesting road to walk, but we're really excited. We've really seen the Spirit move, and we've really seen a lot of alignment through what we've done. And so thank you, Matt. And
yeah, thank you. Thank you. You can hold on to that. Thank you. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate that. So how's this going to work? Let me just give you a few more details. There's going to be one dedicated fund, Matthew 25 Project Fund. 100% of the money given to this fund, designated to it, will go outward. So a portion of it will go toward elevating God's word, Bible translation, try some other opportunities that will open up in that area. And a portion will go to these human life initiatives. We'll share regular updates of what was given, the initiatives that we're able to fund, the impact that they're having, and then what's coming next. And so what I'd like to do is invite you today as a church to begin prayerfully considering a monthly gift toward this fund. You can certainly give a one-time gift, but I think making a monthly commitment is a way to stay engaged with this throughout over the next 2 years. Now, $2 million breaks down to about $83,000 a month. So we haven't made commitments to anyone for that much, but we are starting to say, look at, okay, whatever money comes in, that's what's gonna allow us to support these ministries and the work that we're doing. And so our first offering will be September 14th. Between now and then, I just encourage you to say, okay, God, what are you prompting me to give toward this? And I know many of you are very generous already. Maybe there's a next step for you to take. Maybe a step of obedience is going to be the key that unlocks a next opportunity for you. We start thinking about how can we make a difference and be part of God's kingdom. It's amazing how things begin to multiply. So I'm going to invite you into that. And then how to serve as well. There's gonna be many opportunities. Some are big commitments, some are lower commitments, but I think there's gonna be an opportunity for everyone to get involved with this, whether you're young, old, you've been at Worship Center a long time, or maybe you're new to this church. We want everyone to get involved with this. $2 million in 2 years, getting a congregation like this mobilized into this, it is a God-sized goal. And so I just wanna maybe ask the question that might be on your mind. Why do we need God-sized goals? Why don't we just set something that's realistic? Well, one reason is they stretch us to think bigger, and they invite everyone to participate in. But I think there's even something greater about this for why we need God-sized goals. And I want to read Ephesians chapter 3. Just such a powerful statement. Paul is reflecting on the gospel of Jesus Christ, this message of who Jesus is, and how he sees how it transforms people's lives. So go to chapter 3, verse 14. He writes, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And I'd encourage you to reflect on that verse this week. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may that you have the power, this inner strength that comes from the Spirit, may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, verse 20, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Why do we need God-sized goals? God-sized goals demand faith and display God's glory, not ours. God-sized goals challenge his people to depend on him. See, all of this, I love this passage of scripture so much. God wants to do immeasurably more than we might ask or think, immeasurably through us. He wants to work through us more than we can ask, think, or imagine. All of this, it starts with believing that God is able. He has unlimited resources. He is powerful. He's working. He wants to do more than we might ask. He wants to work through us, do extraordinary things. I love that so much. In fact, I remember as a teenager and a young adult, as I was starting to grow and learn what it means to follow Jesus and have a relationship with God and understand that God has a purpose for my life, I would hear this kind of thing, you know, God wants to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary. Man, I was just locked in on that so much. And then I would hear someone with a microphone stand on the platform and say something like, you want to be a world changer? I was like, yeah. I want to be a world changer. You want to be a difference maker, a history maker? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. And they would say something like, all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, and God can move mountains. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Then I would go home, and I had to be like, empty the dishwasher. I'm like, this does not feel like history making. Then I have to go to, you know, the construction site on Monday, because that's what I was doing in my 20s. And I get yelled at for something that I didn't even do. I'm like, this isn't world changing. I don't feel like I'm making a difference. And I always have this like tension inside around it. It's like I'd hear about doing extraordinary things, but most of life feels ordinary, doesn't it? It feels simple. A lot of it feels monotonous. It's about being faithful and showing up and being faithful to what God is, where God has placed you right where you are. But this is why we need the kingdom of God. God wants to work in us, through us. It is plural on purpose. Because a lot of people want to do something extraordinary and they just go off to their side. It's like, I want to do something and make a difference. But that's not the kingdom of God. That's why we need to be engaged in God's kingdom, because it's together, being a part of a community of people that are connected to a vision that God has given us. That's where God will take the ordinary and he will do extraordinary things. And he's inviting us into that. And that's why I want to challenge you to consider what's your part in this. God has given us a vision to connect on. But each of us have the opportunity. What are we going to do? How are we going to participate? We can all do something. I know we can. And it may stretch us. The kingdom of God is not about ourselves. See, God wants to do, every time I read this, is God wants to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Look, I imagine some pretty big things. This is a starting point, but there's bigger things I can imagine. And God wants to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. There may be things that we're not even thinking about right now. We take this first step of obedience and it reveals something even greater. Amen. So a 2 million goal may sound big. That's a big ask, goal. I have to be very careful how I say that. Are we live streaming right now? Hopefully not. Oh, we are? Oh, good. Perfect. I'll be on the internet forever. What was I saying? It's a bold ask. It's a request. How about that word? Oh, man. I want us to pray. I want us to be bold in our prayers. Not say, what if we pray God surprise us? Surprise us. I don't want to pray safe prayer. Just protect us from disappointment. I don't want to be disappointed. I'm done with that. Surprise us with what you can do, how we can be part of it. So I'm closing with this, and this is safe. On Tuesday, I got this piece of paper in my box, and it's a photocopy of a giving envelope. And it's anonymous, there's no name on it, no number, anything like that. But it had $100 cash put in the envelope with a note that says, Kingdom Generosity, part of the 2 million. It's our first seed planted. And I think it's important for you to know, I don't know who gave this, I don't need to know. If that was you, I'm grateful, because I think you were obedient to a prompt. And that's all I'm asking. Could you be obedient to what God prompts you to do? There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians that says, do what your faith is prompting you to do. May you have the courage to do what your faith is prompting you to do. I'm not about hype or making, you know, trying to manipulate you or to do this, give this. If you really love God, you're good. It's none of that. I want you to do what your faith is prompting you to do. Because then God gets the glory, not my great communication skills or how I coerce somebody into giving. God gets the glory for this. So between now and September 14th, I invite you to prayerfully consider what your part in this is. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word and your spirit. And I believe you're giving us a vision to see people the way you see people. That our love for you transforms us for how we truly love others. And so I pray as we begin this journey, that each of us simply say, God, what are you prompting me to do? You look at what you've given me. We're stewards, not owners. We've been given a lot. And I pray that we would have the courage to obey the prompt. We see many women in crisis pregnancy choosing life. We see many foster families who maybe are tired, maybe feel like giving up. We can come alongside and be a support because we love those children. God, we see many people who are experiencing homelessness or on the verge and maybe feel like they have no hope. We can come alongside and help meet a need because we love people. And God, we see many people who don't have a Bible in their language, opening their Bible for the first time to read it in their heart language and read it in a way that it's like God speaking directly to them. And we do all of this, God, because we love you and we love others. So I pray that you would stir that in us. In Jesus' name. I don't want to dismiss before giving an opportunity. If you're here and you've never made a decision to receive this gift, a free gift of salvation, Jesus made a way where there seemed to be no way. Changes. He changes lives. He changed mine. I think often, where would I be without Jesus? I would have no hope. I would have no purpose. That decision many years ago I made to surrender my life to him as my Lord and Savior, it changed the way I view life. Life is a gift given to now be part of a greater kingdom than just my own. So yeah, that gift of salvation is forgiveness of sins so that we have an eternity with him. We can live with him. This invitation to follow Jesus affects us today. So Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you want to be my follower, repent of your sins, turn from your selfish ways, give up your life, because when you give up, that's when you find it. And so I want to lead you in a prayer that sets you on that path. It's just a beginning point. If you're ready to receive this gift of salvation that only Jesus can give, I'm going to invite you just to repeat this prayer out loud. And I'm going to invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. And Jesus, I believe you came to this earth, died on a cross, shed your blood for the forgiveness of my sins. You were buried in a tomb. You rose from the dead. And now you ascended to heaven. But you will return again as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I repent of my sin, receive forgiveness. My old life is gone. A new life begins today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer, the ushers have a Bible that we want you to have, and it's really our way to come alongside you in this journey of learning what it means to follow Jesus. Would you have the courage just to raise your hand? You prayed this prayer, until an usher sees you, they'll hand you that Bible. And then after the service, I want to invite you to stop by Connections. It's a room to my right, the back of the auditorium. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you, pray with you. Journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone, so I'd encourage you to stop by there. And then your next step, if you have never been water baptized, your next step is to be water baptized. It's like a public oath of loyalty saying, I am following Jesus, no turning back. We have a class that we want you to go through. I encourage you to sign up, worshipcenter.org/baptism, and we'd love to help you get signed up there. All right, if you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. If you're new to Worship Center, I'd encourage you to stop by Connections as well. And to my left is a room for our 18 to 30-year-olds. We have a space for you. Love to help you get connected with other young adults. I'd encourage you to stop by there. Would you all stand, please? Before you go, let me just remind you, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life, and be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.